and shine, Atlanta. We are the Morning Shift live from our Kia studios today. Taking a day off from training camp. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American, national champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And she is the first lady of Atlanta baseball, a very worried one, the queen of tofu, and the leader of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack. And as always, we have the one and only Dylon Matthews. And his significant other was at Eagles training camp yesterday, where she took pictures for Dylan of his favorite team, the Eagles.
How long are you going to continue this false narrative?
Okay. Forever.
I was just wondering.
Although
I figured.
I did see someone with Jalen Hurts yesterday.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Jalen Hurts, actually, because she had met Jalen Hurts before at the Final Four a couple of years ago when NC State was in it. And she met Jalen Hurts through her mentor. Her mentor is LaChana Robinson. So, obviously, she met him again. And Jalen Hurts surprisingly remembered Simone. So, that was cool.
Oh, he remembered her.
Yeah, he was like, good to see you again. She posted the video, and he was like, yeah, good to see you again.
That's dope.
And she was like, you remember me? So, yeah, it's a whole video.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So.
I saw the video. That's why I know.
Yeah. But yeah.
Where was this video posted? I want to see it.
It's on Twitter. Okay. And I think she might have posted on Instagram too, TikTok. She probably posted them on all the platforms. But yeah, at this point, I'm just riding Simone's coattails. Wait until she gets famous, and then I'm going to retire and be a stay-at-home dad.
And just play Mario Kart.
And just play Mario Kart. Just stream Mario Kart.
You got to get married and have kids, be a stay-at-home dad.
I know, but that's my plan.
That's a 30-year plan.
That's a 30-year plan.
That's your 30-year plan. I don't blame you. I keep trying to talk my wife into getting a doctorate.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm like, you should definitely go back to school and get a doctorate. It's like a huge pay bump in her profession.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what I mean? Wink, wink.
Right.
Go get that doctorate.
Right. You go get that doctorate, you go make all the money, and then...
As far as my education level in this line of work, it's kind of as much as it could be. You know what I mean? But for her, I'm like, look, do a little online school, get a little pay bump. You know what I mean? Retire a little bit earlier, it's all good.
I wonder how long that would take her, though.
At least 2 years.
That's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah, at least 2 years. And if she got in the right program, maybe she didn't have to write a thesis. I don't know. We've had this conversation. She's done. She's like, I'm done. She's got a specialist degree, which is the between a master's and a doctorate.
Okay.
And so she's like, I'm good.
I couldn't even write a 10-page paper in college. I came up short, and I was just like, nah, this is what you're getting. So writing a thesis is just absolutely terrifying to me.
Bro, I don't even want to go down this road. One of my professors thought I was cheating because I didn't know how to cite sources when I was like a sophomore in college.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't dumb, but I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm just going to write the paper. He's like talking in front of class. I'll get you guys this grades back to you soon. I'm pretty sure I had one cheater. I'm like, he's definitely talking about me. Yeah, definitely talking about me.
At this point in life, can you even imagine going back to school?
Oh my gosh. I did it during COVID. I got my master's degree during COVID, and it was not fun.
Ooh, not fun
at all.
I think it might be better and worse. Like I would probably study better.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I like studying this because I enjoy it. I hate school. I hated school. I was awful at it. I just had no want to be there. Like it was not fun.
Well, it was like the core classes were the bane of my existence.
Yeah.
But then you get into the communications classes and it's like 4.0. You know, but everything 100%. Else is like, why do I need to learn Spanish right now or art history? Stop it.
I did get an A in the class that no one got an A in. Like the professor at the beginning was like, if you want an A, that's great, but we don't give them out here. You have to go above and beyond. Most people don't get A's and are disappointed. Don't get disappointed if you make a B in this class. So I, to the point where I called the professor, I was like, hey, did I really get an A in your class? He's like, did you earn an A? And I was like, no. And you put an A. I always think I've done the best. Did
what
I
class
get one?
Was it?
It was one of my major classes. It was Dr. Johnson. It was the guy that I think is the only reason why I'm sitting here today and graduated college, but because he, you know, gave me that, this is on you, you screwed up, fix it. Speech.
Right.
And it kind of, honestly, it pissed me off. I wanted somebody to blame, and I had to blame myself. So then I got mad. And like, so he was like the guy that turned my college career around. But now it was like, he was like, no, I don't give them out. I've told you that. Like, if you got an A, you earned it. And I was like, yeah. I was like, don't worry about the fact that I take one class of tennis a semester just to get into my classes for my degree because I didn't make the requirement. GPA wise.
Well, coming up on the show today, we've got a lot going on. We were out at Falcons training camp yesterday. Had a chance to talk with Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot at training camp. We're going to play that conversation for you. That's going to be coming up at 6:27. More out of Falcons training camp. Caden Ellis joined us for a few minutes after practice yesterday. One of the nicest guys ever. You can hear Caden and Mike totally nerd out about football. It was great. That's
Bo
coming up
well.
At 7.
Yeah, I got to give Bo credit because he nerded out with him too. And it was poetry for both of us, I think, to have that conversation.
And then at 7:40, it is Which One Wednesday. Mike and Bo will duke out all my questions. Plus, we've got so much more in between. I do have a story about justice was served this morning, and I'm so excited to tell you guys about that at some point. But I do want to mention, before we get to Falcons training camp and our takeaways from yesterday, we've got another one. Heading to the IL for the Braves, Ronald Acuña came out of the sixth inning last night against the Royals. He's now on the 10-day IL for Achilles tightness.
Yeah, awesome. Mm-hmm. It worries you when you have a calf issue and then it goes to your Achilles and I don't know what to say. If that was something that if he tore his Achilles, you're basically going to lose at this point in the season. It's August. You're going to lose him. You won't see him again at 28. Right. I mean, now you're getting into the option years, the team option years of his contract. And you have to think now, and the first thing I read was like if his Achilles was a tear, and they think that it'll clear up after 10 to 15 days, but if he was to tear his Achilles, I think his Braves career might be gone. Mm. And because
wow.
Because you can't pay him what he deserves when he's healthy based on the fact that he's never freaking healthy. And that's the problem. And that's not a Braves fault. That's not the Braves' fault. It's not the Braves' fault he can't stay healthy, and it's not his fault either. You know, it's nobody's fault. But at what point do you say, I can't pay him, especially – now, I'm saying hypothetically. Again, look, guys, he's probably going to be fine. 10 days should be fine. But I went into doom and gloom when I read this because I was like, well, what if he came back and tears it? I would probably sit him until September. And then bring him back for a month, and if he feels 100%, and only because that's an injury that we've seen in the NBA. If you rush it back, calf, Achilles, they will pop. So don't push it. But yeah, if he was to tear it, I don't know if he'd ever play again for this team. And that sucks. Well, it really hurts me to even think about.
And obviously he realized that too, because he was very emotional in his when he spoke after the game last night. But rewinding to yesterday, Falcons training camp, pads were on. It was more aggressive. Did anything really stick out to you guys as you were watching everyone on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I love being able to hear practice, right? And that's one of the things when, the first time the pads strap on and I thought the competitive edge for both sides of the ball kind of evened out a little bit yesterday. I saw some explosives. I saw some good catches. I saw some good blocks. I saw a lot of people flying around. I also saw, our guys off the edge. Khalid Kareem continues to be a guy who is this year's like James Smith Williams, right? Bo and I showed up last year. We're like, who is that guy right there? It was James Smith Williams. He ends up being one of your starters until he gets injured midway through the season. Khalid Kareem has been that guy for me this year. So all the defensive front, I thought, flew around, and you also had the offense being able to answer at times too. It can tend to look a little bit sloppy at times on day one of a padded practice, but I thought the operation and everything else, the competitive edge with it, was actually really, really nice, considering how hot it was, man, because it was the hottest day of the year yesterday.
Yeah, very hot. It was. I enjoyed just, like, I didn't really – I missed – I don't know how – I don't know if they even did. I didn't see much – the one-on-one drills yesterday. I was a little disappointed with the offensive and defensive line. But you get to see plenty of it in full go. We got to see Braylon Trice. Mike and I both extensively watched some of Braylon Trice. And it feels like he's working back from an injury. And because we talked about it at practice and then offline about a couple of things we saw from him. And – James Pierce continued to kind of make some plays out there and even making plays when you're not making plays. Like, I've always thought if you can draw a holding penalty as a defensive lineman, that should be a stat. Like, because that's a major penalty.
Forced holds.
Yeah, that's a major penalty that now pushes an offense back, and that can be a drive breaker. I mean, how many times last year, Mike, did we see the Falcons get the ball moving and get into enemy territory and close to the red area, or even in the red area, and been 10 yards holding, or you know, whatever. And so he seems to continue to do things. It was hot. I saw AJ tried to make a play to break up a ball, and he went down, and he stayed down for a second. I was like, is he all right?
Yeah.
And apparently, I think it was his helmet issue. They were working on his helmet on the sideline. So I wanted him to stay healthy. Kyle continues to do his half practice stuff, where they're working with him, trying to not bring him back from whatever the foot injury was in the offseason.
Kyle had a really good block on Braylon Trice. Bo was talking about, we were kind of focused in on Braylon Trice for a little bit. Kyle Pitts has not spent much time actually attached to the line of scrimmage, attached to the tackles at the tight end, the blocking tight end position. But he was a couple of times yesterday and actually had a couple of really good blocks, and actually he was very stoked about those. Like, you saw Kyle Pitts actively feeling good about a block that he laid on a defender, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is just, it's not really his game. It's not something that he does very often. You can tell it's been kind of maybe a focus of his or something that he is harping on this year, because he was like pounding in the chest, you know, screaming. He was like, yeah. And that, you know, when the running back cuts off of you when you're a tight end, that's always a big feel. And so, yeah, he was able to do that. And I was stoked about it as well, because he was stoked about it.
Well, like, he was very stoked about it. I looked at Bo and I was like, what he's saying is not PG.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yeah.
Well, it shows you, you said point of emphasis, but people talk about players hearing the noise, and I don't know how much they hear or they don't. I know they listen more than they used to. I mean, just ask Kevin Durant. But if him hearing the noise, and then that's good. That's good as a motivator. Sometimes hearing noise motivates people. Not everybody goes in the tank when they hear noise, you know? And I hope that Kyle gets motivated for it, because I don't care where he's at next year. He's here now, and I'd like the best we could get out of him.
And there is so much more to unpack from Falcons training camp yesterday. But coming up next, we've got that Terry Fontenot interview for you. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Allie Mack, and Dylan. And we had a chance to talk with Falcons GM Terry Fontenot yesterday. And we started by asking him about the challenges of managing a roster year-round.
Yeah, well, it's tough because, Allie, at the end of the day, we're at 90 right now. Actually, we're at 91. And every player that's here is here for purpose. Whether it was a coach or a scout, or everybody's here for a reason. There's mm-hmm. nobody that just randomly shows up here. And we got to cut this thing down to initially 53, and then we can build back up with the practice squad and the international player to 70. But that's hard. That's really challenging, because the other thing we're doing is we're also looking outside the building at the other 31. We constantly work out players. We had DJ Chark in here, and so there's good players that are available on the street. There's good players on other rosters that, as we anticipate, could get cut or we could possibly trade for. So we got to get the right 53, the right 70 to go through the season with, at least to start the season on the right way. And so that's hard, because we're going to have some tough conversations here at some point.
They're joined by the GM of the Atlanta Falcons, Terry Fontenot, here on the morning shift live from Flowery Branch, training camp day 4, I believe. That's funny that you said exactly what you just said, because we were talking earlier about what we wanted to talk to you about. And I was like, well, I want to ask him, because, like, DJ Chark is signed on what? Their off day. Yeah. What's it like day-to-day for you, training camp? Because we kind of think that when you get to training camp, you've done most of your job. You gave Raheem 91 players. All right, you go do what you got to do. But what's it like? Because you're having to monitor. You're having to work out these guys. So, like, the day-to-day operation of training camp for Terry Fontenot was like what?
Yeah, so like, for example, yesterday we met with the pro staff going through the preseason scouting process and everything that entails, and because we have to be experts on the other 31 teams. And before you know it, these games are going to start. So, and there's going to be a massive cut. So how are we evaluating these players? How are we anticipating the guys that are going to be available via trade? So we're going through, talking through that process. Sitting down with the coaches yesterday as well and going through the roster. Again, we talked about it. We have tough decisions to make on all these guys, and there's so many factors. So we're talking to the coaches about how the guys are picking things up. We're talking to the player performance group, the athletic trainers, and it's a holistic approach in terms of how we're evaluating things, because like we said, it's not just about the player and what's happening on the field. It's about everything in the total picture. So we're meeting, and we have to be experts on our roster and then be experts on the other 31 as well. So every single day is truly targeted at that.
And I imagine your phone has to be on you, because if anything happens in another camp, you know, you never know, you might get a phone call.
Yeah.
I mean, your phone's going to be blowing up just talking to other scouts and GMs, right?
Absolutely. And again, our pro staff does an awesome job of, because we're all, I'm communicating with the GMs and they're communicating with scouts and agents in other areas. So that's a big part of it.
I want to follow up on that as well, because there was a moment I was jealous, and you were doing an interview with Andy and Randy leading up to the draft. I don't know if you remember this or not. All right, in the middle of this interview, your phone rings, and it was a GM.
Yeah.
And you showed Andy. You wouldn't tell it on the radio. You're like, you know who that is?
Has he shared that?
No. And I texted him immediately. No, I was like, who was it? He was like, not telling, man. Not telling. Circle of trust. And look, hey, if your phone rings, just show it to me. That's all I'm saying, okay? If your phone rings at any point in this interview, just show it to me. But how often does that happen? Like, when would you say is the last time you spoke to another personnel person from another NFL team? Is it on a daily basis? Is it every few days? When's the last time you talked to, like, another NFL GM?
Yeah, not always on a daily basis. It was probably a couple days ago when I talked to another GM. But what will happen is, especially when we get into – after the first preseason game, that's when things really ramp up. Right. That's when the conversations really accelerate. And, again, our pro staff does such a good job of making sure we know exactly what's going on in those other buildings. We know the players that we're looking at in those other buildings. We know what we anticipate, so they can be productive conversations.
Yeah.
Well, and we are joined by Falcons General Manager Terry Fontenot right now on the morning shift. How much of your job is evaluating talent versus personality and locker room chemistry?
Yeah, it's all that. Like I said, we have a holistic approach. And when you have guys in this locker room, and I know, Mike, you'll appreciate this, and you have this locker room and you're looking at the Chris Lindstroms and Jake Matthews and Jesse Bates and Bijan, all these unbelievable people, I can keep going. What we have to do is we have to make sure we're adding to the culture. And it's not – we don't want to let those guys down and bring in somebody that doesn't fit that. Now it goes both ways. And they want to look next to a guy and say, okay, we can trust this guy. Mm-hmm. But also we got to be able to trust him to do his job and help us to be an effective football team. And so we have to make sure that we're bringing in the right guys. But then also, like I said, we have a holistic approach. And part of this is development. Sometimes it's helping people with life skills. Sometimes it's helping people on the field. But whatever it is, we have to help develop them and get them to where they need to be. But they have to have the right mindset. The
mindset's everything. I can imagine you're probably like, hey, James Pierce, like, what was that fight all about out there? Hey, man, I told everybody you were going to fit the culture. Why are you fighting people? No, man, and look, I was the same way as him when I got out here trying to make a name for myself as well. I want to kind of piggyback on her question, because one of the things we've talked about has been the defensive line group. Obviously, not just the edge guys that you drafted back in the spring, but also the interior. You lose a guy like Grady Jarrett. Eddie Goldman, who was very unique to what this team was trying to do last year, right? I mean, he was more of kind of that sound tree stump style nose guard I always talk about. But you have people to replace them not quite in the same style.
Yeah.
How do you manage that? When you know, how often do you get in with a guy like Jeff Ulbrich and say, hey, okay, what are we looking for? You know what I mean? Obviously, we're looking for explosive guys, but are we looking for penetrating style? Are we looking for guys who can swim move? Or are we looking for guys who can hold the point? How do you kind of balance that? Because let's just call it what it is. You've seen a lot of defensive coordinators over the last 4 years in Atlanta, and you are trying to bring in guys that fit a lot of different systems.
No, you're right. And that's the critical factor. That's really step one. When Jeff Ulbrich gets in the building and Nate Olley and the other coaches get going, we have to sit down with them and go through what the prototype is for each position. What's the best fit? Bringing in a guy like Divine Diablo, if you look at Jeff Ulbrich's with Foye Olukuni, look at his history with linebackers, there's a lot of college safeties that have length and athleticism. There's a specific prototype, and Divine Diablo fit that prototype to a T in terms of the type of linebackers we want here moving forward. Now, with the Caden Ellis's and the J.D. Bertrands and the Troys, those guys still fit, and they can fit what we are, but still moving forward, do you know what your ideal is? The same thing is we had a lot of players here already with Brandon Dorless and TQ Graham and Rook, and we have a lot of guys that are really athletic guys that can get off the ball and do a lot of the things that we want to do. So it's twofold. It's about looking at the players that you have right now, seeing how they fit, but what's that prototype moving forward? And it's been great having those conversations with with Brick and Ollie and all the other coaches.
Awesome. Joined by Atlanta Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot here on the morning shift. All right, just in that light, when you draft Jalen Walker, anybody in the first round really, but then you make a move to go back and get James Pierce, that there's expectations that yeah. come from outside the building. You know, what for a general manager, what expectations do you have a player when you take that kind of move and that kind of risk? Because we know back in the day when they did it here for – Thomas did it for Julio. But also, how do you manage those expectations with the player?
Yeah, well, and honestly, Bo, we don't see it like as a risk. It's a calculated – it's a decision,
yeah.
right? And when we look at it and using – we use next year's first-round pick this year to get a pressure player that we have a lot of faith in. And then we got back a third-round pick that we got Xavier Watts in with. So we got these two big-time pressure players out of college football, and then we got two ball hawks from college football. So when we look at the total picture of what we did and how we put it together, we feel really good about that. But we understand there's always an expectation that comes with everything, and that's why we keep talking about mindset. You have to have players with the same mindset too, because I can sit here and say that we ignore the noise and we don't listen to those things. We just focus on our process and what we're doing. But you have to have players that have that same mindset. And we know those guys that we brought in, they're wired the right way. They're focused on this building right here and doing everything they can do to be effective here. You're talking earlier about the fights and there's some stuff going on a couple days ago. And, man, you have these really competitive groups that are doing whatever they can do to go out there and battle. And I know a couple coaches have said it. We got to go to that line and not cross that line. You'd rather have guys you got to pull back than guys you got to push. You know, so we'd rather have that. And so we know we'll manage it the right way and make sure we're doing things the right way and protecting our team in those ways. But we love that we have guys that are that passionate and that competitive.
Well, to that light, I mean, I've gotten to spend, you know, good for what I do around the team. And I'm around Bijan and Drake and then even the little bit of time around Penix. It's like they're all the same in a lot of ways. They're all – I mean, the way they interact – they just – I don't know how – and you got them all at 8, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. So I guess you guys – and Jalen Walker from – I don't know a ton about James Pierce. I'm still learning like I think most of our families. But Jalen Walker to him is almost seems like he's cut from that exact same mold that Penix, Drake, Bijan are.
Yeah, there's a rare consistency to all those players you're talking about. There's a rare maturity to those players as well. You know exactly what you're getting on a day-to-day basis. And there are some players you bring in that you got to help in areas with life skills, with different things. But with those guys, there is very unique with how mature and consistent they are in everything they do.
Yeah. Finishing up here with Terry Fontenot, Falcons general manager. Just one more thing before we let you go. It's interesting talking to you and how little drama it kind of feels like there is out here, because it is holdout season around the NFL.
Yep.
And we sit here and talk about Terry McLaurin and Micah Parsons and. We don't have that situation right now, but how much do you kind of keep your ear to the ground or your eyes peeled? Because you do probably have some extensions coming up when you talk about the Drake Londons, even looking further, you know, the Matthew Bergerons, Bijan Robinsons. How do you kind of keep that, you know, that wind in your sails of like, okay, I know this is coming, and how do you decide to plan for that and kind of see what the NFL landscape is like on that front?
Yep. It's a regular ongoing basis. We study every contract that comes in, and we're always forecasting and looking at how our players specifically are going to fit into that. And so we're always looking, because, you know, when you make a decision to extend a player, you have to look at all the effects, how it affects everybody else on the roster,
right.
how it's going to affect you in the coming seasons. And we're very transparent with our players and with our agents. Like you said, we have some guys that are really, really good people that fit what we're about, fit our ethos, and they're really good players on the field. So you want to get things done, but we're very transparent with them in the right ways. And so you know that when we really build this thing the right way, it's going to be a norm. You're going to lose some players.
Yep.
That's just the fact of it, because that's going to be a good problem to have, that we have so many good players that you can't fit them all underneath. But we're honest with players that, hey, you come here, it's our job to give you everything we have and pour into you, and it's your job to go out there and give everything you have so you can be the best you can, and you're either going to make a lot of money here or somewhere else. But that is an ongoing thing, and it does say a lot about the unselfishness of our players that they're just out there competing, getting ready to play Tampa on 9/7.
That is Falcons GM Terry Fontenot, kind enough to join us yesterday at Atlanta Falcons training camp. We'll get into a little bit more in the weeds on what he was talking about in that interview on the other side. Plus, we're going to go in the front page. We'll cover that Braves-Royals game, and we've got my Allie Mack drop. We're going to get into what would it take for you to change your phone number. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan, and Dylan is chilling behind the glass. We're going to talk about Ronald Acuna and that IL list he's going on momentarily in the front page. But we just played that interview with Falcons GM Terry Fontenot. You guys are always saying you got to listen close to hear what these guys are really saying without saying it. Did you glean anything off of that conversation with Terry yesterday?
Some, you know, but it's such a weird time because, you know, I was talking to Abe at practice yesterday, and we were talking about the interview, and I was like, you know, Terry did his press conference, right? And I feel like there's so many. Like, I wasn't going in there saying, I want to ask about Kyle Pitts because I don't have anything to ask about, or I don't really care. There's so many
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, there's so many surface things that get asked in press conferences because you're asking what many would seem to be a fluff or dumb question, and you're hoping that that person will expound on it. I wanted to ask, like, nuts and bolts stuff, like things that you don't think about, because this is probably one of the, and I know it sounds silly, but one of the more relaxed interviews you're going to get from a GM, because he's put 90 guys out there. They have 91 because Troy Anderson's on the pup list right now. But he's put 90 guys out there, and he's working out on the side. And
well,
he's
I was
like,
thinking, when he said 91, I thought he was talking about the international pathway.
Maybe, yeah, I guess. I know that there's you're supposed
neither
to
here nor there.
Try 90 to camp, but and that's a practice squad thing, but maybe that's what it is. And you've got your team, and you want to see who rises and who falls, and then when camp kind of gets through, then you kind of you guys are going to be cut, and you have some guys surprisingly cut or on the trading block, and then you kind of go back to work, right? So you're kind of just at ease, you know, but there's still so much going on because you're paying attention. And I think it's quietly busy for a GM, whereas we think it's not as busy. And I wanted to get some insight on that. And he talked about all the meetings he has. I mean, he told us that when him and Raheem meet, and it's a very long day for the GM, just like it's a very long day for the coaching staff and the players. And I tend to think that we don't think about it like that.
I wanted to really get a better idea yesterday from both the people we visited with, and you'll hear Caden Ellis coming up at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. We had our conversation with him after practice yesterday, but I wanted to get a better understanding of how they make everything fit with all these moving parts. And Terry, obviously, at the helm of that, and, you know, you get a year two head coach and a year one defense coordinator, but a year three linebacker. Like, how do you make all of these things fit together time and time again? And I thought he opened up well about that, about, you know, the meetings with Jeff Ulbrich, and he talked about Devon Diablo kind of being the prototype of a linebacker that they want, a long safety-like, you know, fast player that, you know, has some twitchiness and things like that. And we ended up talking to Caden after practice as well about how he kind of fits back and how he kind of understands different defenses. So that was really what I wanted to take away from both interviews, and I think both of them addressed it really well.
Real quick on Caden, we talked every time we lose or it's a bad game, they're like, we'll talk to Bass, and he's like, yeah, you guys got Caden Ellis and Bajon. And I'm like, or like Caden Ellis and Drake. And I'm like, because those are the guys that are like, all right, yeah, we're going to give you Jake Matthews. I'm like, and I'm not ragging on those guys, but it's these guys that they know will talk.
Right.
Right. And they'll won't. I remember we had Devondre Campbell after a loss one time in Cleveland, and Devondre's like, yeah, we didn't take this game seriously. And I was like, well, I'll never get him again.
Hit the mute button. Somebody help.
But Alex, so when they gave us Caden, I knew he would be good. He went so in depth on questions, and he was so forthcoming. You do not want to miss an interview at 7 o'clock. I was blown away because I was like, okay, your answers were way better than my questions, dude. Like, way better. So thank you for making me feel good about myself.
Well, just a reminder that Falcons training camp, obviously, it is here. We're in the thick of it through August 13th, and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game will bring you exclusive on-site coverage of Falcons training camp with us, the Morning Shift, the Steakhouse, Andy and Randy, all broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. And then when practice wraps up, you can join Dukes and Bell at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. Coverage is brought to you by your North Georgia Honda dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. Live coverage of Falcons training camp is going on now through August 13th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I don't want to talk about it, but we got to talk about
it. Yeah.
Braves lost to the Royals 9-6. Marcelo Ozuna homered, brought in three. Austin Riley also went deep. Eric Fetty made his debut last night for the Braves, fell behind 4-0 after two innings. So, Ronald, this is the part I don't want to talk about. He left during the sixth inning due to tightness in his right Achilles tendon. He's on the 10-day IL and will miss the Speedway Classic.
Hits just keep coming. I don't even know what to say anymore about it. I mean, it's unfortunate. It was unfortunate that you got 14 hits yesterday and you lost the game because the bullpen absolutely fell apart, and Fetty was what you expected out of Fetty, but it just is what it is, man. Hopefully, and this is what I've been talking about, I'm looking towards 2026, and if Ronald Acuna has issues moving forward, then that's already going to make me want to be sick to my stomach as you look towards next year. So it's continuation of everything I feel like keeps happening to this franchise.
You know, you watch Ronald's press conference, and obviously he used the translator because he wanted to make sure he said everything right, which I completely get and understand. It doesn't feel good. He's visibly upset. You know, you hear Snitker and you read the Braves comments, and you're like, oh yeah, hey, we'll see him next homestand. And then you read, or you hear his words, and you're like, this is bad. Mm-hmm. So I have no feeling on this right now. No, I don't know what to gauge because I don't want to overreact because I'm normally not an overreactor when it comes to this team. But I'm worried because if he tore his Achilles, you will not see him until 27. And now you're into, if I'm not mistaken, the club option years. And I really don't know how. I know where the fan base stands, and I'm with them on wanting to see him in his career with the Braves, but I don't know how you move forward in a long-term contract with Ronald Acuna Jr. if he misses most of 21, is not healthy in 22, most of 24, most of 25, and then all of 26. I'm not sure how you resign him and justify it to a big-money deal. And I think he could get some more somewhere else. I just don't know where this would put you, because I think some team could probably pay him more and say DH. And you can't. You don't have the money. You've never going to have the money as long as you're owned by Liberty Media to do that.
It's very unfortunate. Obviously, we'll keep you updated on anything we find out about the Ronald Acuna situation. Now, DJ Lagway has a calf strain. He's in a walking boot as the Gators will start a fall camp.
I'm curious to get your perspective on this. Does this worry you at all? Because
yeah, I feel just like Ronnie.
Yeah, it's like
always
okay.
Something.
There is a lot resting on this dude's shoulders.
I love this kid. Everything about this kid is one of the best human beings you'll find in a team atmosphere, and just in general, does the right thing with NIL money. You know, he's very generous with his time and his money. He's been very charitable. He's a freaking stud. Big kid, big arm, can move, smart. The team rallies around him, the leader. But he missed time last year when you that Texas game he missed. He's 6-1 as a starter, by the way. Damn. But he missed time with that hamstring pull. And then he comes back, you win games you probably didn't think you would. Misses time during the offseason with a shoulder, which might still need surgery. He had hernia surgery. And now he's got he's in a walking boot to start camp.
It sucks.
Yeah, I'm terrified.
That whole program, Billy Napier's outlook and everything kind of relies on him. And he does still need to develop. As good as we think he's going to be, he still does need some development inside of that system. So, I don't know, man. It's, Florida's had a rough couple of years, and you thought things were trending up, and I still think they are. But, man, that's not good news out of the blocks.
It's definitely very unfortunate. We're going to pivot a little bit. I'm curious what it would take for you guys to switch your phone number. And I'm asking because I found this nightmare of a story. How long have you had your phone number for, Mike?
Since I was 16.
Okay. Yep. Bo?
I want to say sometime around like 18 or 19, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
I still have an 850 area code.
I've had the same phone number ever since I've had a phone.
Really?
And I got my first phone in fifth grade.
You know what, though?
Fifth grade.
I had a phone number in fifth grade.
I would expect everyone to say your age to say that. I do think it's a little bit different the older you get because cell phone. Remember, I didn't have a cell phone in fifth grade.
You used to own your phone number either. Cell company used to own your phone number. Yeah,
you used to. I think you could pay a fee to take it to another company with you.
It was unfortunate. They could hold your phone number hostage when we were younger.
Yeah, you had to stick with one service, basically. Well, I want to tell you about a nightmare of a story because this couple, Jonathan and Natasha, they're from Canada. They're British Columbia. Their life is pretty much flipped upside down thanks to a T-shirt company. This company is somewhere in Long Island, 3,000 miles away, has no clue who Natasha and Jonathan are, but they put together this graphic T-shirt. And it's basically a cat, a missing cat poster. And it has cash reward, call for it. And it put a phone number on it.
Wow.
It's their phone number.
Wow.
And because of the cash reward, everybody is calling Jonathan and Natasha saying, "Hey, I saw Turbo." That's the cat's name. "I saw Turbo." "Give me the cash."
What a great name for a cat.
And they're saying the calls are getting pretty harassing at this point because people are like, I see your cat. And they're like, "No, our cat's name is Mouser and I'm looking at him right now."
See, that's not bad either.
And they called the T-shirt company. The T-shirt company has taken down the product. They're no longer selling it.
They're going to be sued.
But that's the thing. They offered no apology. They basically just said any fictional phone number that turned out to be real is unintentional.
No
apology.
No, they're going to be sued. Yeah. And a judge is going to be like, "No, this is
a judge ruled."
Yeah.
I mean, they deserve some kind of compensation.
Punitive damages for the freaking company. How about that? That's just ridiculous. Well, you can't just say, our bad.
Right.
We disrupted your whole life, but our bad.
And they don't want to change their phone number because basically, so the zip code is, area code is 602. Basically kind of 404 for Atlanta.
Sure.
You can't get a 404 number anymore.
No.
You can't get a 602 number anymore. So would you change it at that point?
All I can think about is, and a lot of people that remember this from 15, 20 years ago, John Parker Wilson was a victim of this. No Sean Marino, Tim Tebow, when LSU fans got a hold of the phone numbers of opposing players and put them on message boards and started blowing them up. And I was with John Parker Wilson on a Thursday night before we played LSU, and his phone number got leaked. And he had to turn his phone off. He was "Check this out." Turns his phone on. Bzz, bzz, bzz,
bzz, oh man! Bzz.
He ended up having to change it. And I know that No Sean went through the same thing down at Georgia. So yeah, that's the only way I'd change it. If I couldn't even turn my phone on without it buzzing,
right?
That's exactly what would happen.
Or getting harassing calls about a
Touché.
Cat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cat ransom.
I have Turbo right here.
I would. I don't know. I would try to hold out. I would just block. I would block every number that called me.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think at that point you're not going to block anybody that you maybe know. But yeah, I would be tough because, my phone annoys me already at times.
Yeah. I've only changed my number once, and it was such a pain in the butt to remember who to tell.
Yeah.
I only forgot to tell one person, really, that mattered, and it was the guy that was running the Atlanta Falcons radio network at that time, because I was working for the network. That was a big deal that I did not tell him my number was changed.
Wow, yeah.
Wow.
Well, hopefully they figure out what they're going to do. But coming up, we did have a chance to talk with Caden Ellis after practice yesterday. Where is he at 8 o'clock every single night? You'll find out next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.